Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you the only one?
I think so.
Okay.
Let's see if somebody else comes.
Okay.
Marco?
Good evening.
Has joined. Hey.
So we are studying Psalm 95. This is, we've done the initial part. Where we left it off with the last week was to finish the Hebrew reading of this psalm, which is 11 verses, and then to study the commentaries that are appropriate that I've put through in the Psalms landing page. So this is for Psalm 95, and you will find it in the unique astrological times link. And you'll find the Psalms landing page in the Ta'anit Dibur section of the unique astrological times landing page. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Vidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhei Bavavhe Le'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Koneinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Koneinu Lehu neranenu ladonai yohei wahei adanu yo yo ade yo ahe dawanu heyo nari alitsur yishenu. That was verse 1. Mekad ma pana betoda bizmiro nari alo. El Gadol Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yohei Dawanu Heyo. Umelet Gadol Al Kol Elohim Asher Biado Mechkere Aret Betoachot harim lo asher lo hayam. Wehu asahu wa yabeshet yadav yatsaru bo nishtacha wevdikra mivrika lifnei Adonai. Yo hey wahe adanu yo yo ahe dawanu hey yo o say nu ki hu eloheinu wa anachnu amarito witzon yado hayom im bekolo. Tishma'u al tikshu levavchem kim riva keyom masa bad midbar asher nisuni avotechem v'chanuni gam ra'u v'ali arba'im Shana akut bedor wa omar am toe levavim vehem lo yadu derakai asher nishbati veyapi im yivon el menuchati. Now the Psalms landing page, page 95, or Psalm 95. We will start with the commentary by Rob Cook. The title of Rob Cook's comments, Bowing Before Our Maker. Come, let us prostrate ourselves, kneel and bend our knees before the Eternal, our Maker. This is verse 6. The psalmist mentions three methods of bowing before Hashem. Prostration on the ground with hands and feet spread out. This is Hashitchoy. I'm sorry, it's Hashta Choya. Kneeling on one's knees, this is called Kriya. And bending the knees, this is Baricha, or from the word Barech, which means knee, or Baruch. It's the same root. Bending the knees is essentially a blessing. The order in the verse, however, is the opposite of the usual pattern. Ordinarily, people develop over the years growing in piety and dedication to lofty goals. We start with a certain degree of reverence. Over time, the light grows stronger and breaks forth. It surges and occasionally overwhelms us with its brilliance. The usual progression thus begins with the formal act of bowing. We then proceed to a more heartfelt expression of reverence by kneeling. And finally, we express total acceptance and submission to Hashem by prostrating in a prone position on the ground. Sudden illumination. There is, however, a less common path. When Moses gazed at the burning bush, the entire direction of his life immediately changed. When Shaul came across a band of prophets, he unexpectedly experienced prophetic spirit and became a different person. When Elijah cast his mantle over Elisha, the encounter swiftly transformed Elisha from wealthy farmer to master prophet. The psalmist is referring to cases like these, when the sudden appearance of brilliant illumination overwhelms an individual who responds with absolute submission and acceptance. There is a book called the Orot HaTeshuvah in chapter 2 where this commentary is coming from. And Rob Cook there describes two paths of teshuvah. The first is through gradual advance, and the second is sudden and radical. Due to his stunned wonder, he cannot handle even a regular mode of prayer. He is unable to continue with life as if nothing happened. Such a person needs to modulate his emotions to accommodate this powerful experience of holiness. At first, when overwhelmed by the staggering revelation of godly influence, his response is complete submission. He lies prone on the ground. He demonstrates self-effacement before the brilliant revelation of Hashem's spirit. Subsequently, he is able to resort to kriya, kneeling. His entire body lowers before Hashem, but it is only the knees that actually bend and submit to Hashem. Finally, he limits his sense of wonder and devotion to brikha, bending the knees. This form of bowing utilizes the knees without affecting other parts of the body. Functioning in a world of deeds. Why is it important to gradually pull back from complete submission? As the psalmist stresses, we are bowing down before the Eternal, our Maker. O Shinu, Hashem placed us in a world of deeds and actions, Asiyah. God wants us to live a life of goodness and integrity, to conduct ourselves according to the path of Torah and mitzvot. But when the soul's emotions burst out without limits, they distort the realm of action. In order to establish a level of ethical living that is not crippled by overwhelming spiritual revelations, we need to acquire a degree of distance from Hashem. It is necessary to forgo lofty solitude and regain a regular state of social interaction. This allows us to set the foundations for proper conduct in practical life. The soul that experienced profound illuminations learns to restrict its spirit and aspirations. In this, one may attain the highest level that can be realized in a world of deed and action. We'll continue to read the commentary that I've given you before. This is by, I believe his name is Rabbi Y. Rubin. For whatever reason, I didn't include it in the title here. The week has been just so difficult. You have been thrown from pillar to post, not knowing what the next telephone call will bring. The bank is on your head and those bills continue to lie on the table, looking more and more ferocious. The children are so sweet, yet they constantly seem to be getting into scrapes. The Rebbe in Yeshiva wants to know why Mindy isn't doing his homework. And on. And on it goes, with woe after woe piling up on you. You feel as if you are in a vortex that is spinning you out of control. You cannot find the energy to cope. Husband and wife seek strength in each other, yet find themselves too tired to really give of themselves. You feel ground down and worn out. The doctor has warned you about your blood pressure and your weight. Well, don't ask. Does all of this sound familiar? Welcome to the lured of the world of the here and now. Wait. The clock tells you that it's almost Shabbat, and somehow you find the will to persevere. You grab a lungful of air. You drink a strong coffee. Chase the kids into their showers, yelling about shoes being shined, if they can be found, and help sift through tumble-dried piles of clothing. The clock marches on, tick-tocking its way toward that magic moment. You find some few moments to care for your own needs, and you rush down the stairs. Fine, good Shabbat. Good Shabbos. Mommy, come on, boys, let's get to shul. You walk quickly towards your Bet Hamidrash and see all the other hassled fathers schlepping their own gang of children. You enter, walk into the main sanctuary, and whoosh, life turns and everything becomes so sweet and different. The Baal Tefillah goes to the Amud, raises his voice, and you enter a different realm, a world of such light and hope that you lose all remembrance of the chaos that preceded it. Lechu neranenu l'Hashem. Come, let us sing to Hashem. For us sound the shofar to the rock of our deliverance. This particular expression of singing indicates an enthusiastic call. We reach out to each other, walking up the embers of Kedusha that have been smothered by weekday toil. Sing to Hashem. The simple act of raising one's voice brings deliverance. The awakening shofar sound can be found within each heart, and with it, one's revival. Nikadma panav besoda. Let us greet his presence with thanksgiving. With hymns, let us raise our voices unto him. Yes, life can be seen a muddle, but we are yidden, alive and burning with a love for Hashem. True, we tend to forget momentarily, but comes Shabbos, comes that special moment, and we greet the world's creation with song. Our voices raise our inner hearts to higher levels. Everything seems better now. Everything is bearable. When we are laden with life's woes, we cannot really feel Hashem's presence, for our pain creates a barrier. Greeting Hashem's presence is accomplished when we heighten our joy and become filled with thanksgiving. Ki kel gadol Elohim. For a great Almighty is Hashem, and a great king over all gods. The whole week we allow earthly matters to become idols, worshiping them with fear and trepidation. What will become of this? How will I cope with that? There is no shortage of worries, each one amply able to become yet another idol of fear. Shabbos is the clearing in the midst, the place where we can actually feel Hashem's greatness. The greatest gift that is Shabbos is its renewal. The Ruzinir Rebbe used to explain that the reason that Gemara tells us to give thanks to Hashem for each breath we take is because life depends on breathing, and therefore each breath becomes a renewal of one's life. The Rebbe continued, therefore a person has a right to consider himself newly created with every new breath. Since this is the case, a person needs now not to see events of the past as a burden that keeps him from coming closer to Hashem. Even though the person of the past may well have been woefully inadequate, full of the idols of worry, one can assume with that person that has gone with his last breath, and with his next, a new persona has come to the fore. Shabbat brings us a new creation. Who we were before is gone. Now we can cry out in song to Hashem with a new sense of being. Ki biyadav mekere aretz. For in his hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his. For the seas are his, and he made it, and the dry land, his hands formed. It is such a wondrous thing. If we internalize the knowledge that Hashem creates everything, our own scuffles pale into nothingness. Find yourself smothered in the depths of pain. Hashem created every level of existence, and he can carry you out of the deepest cavern. Feel as if the troubles are about to flood you. Fear not, for every ocean is bound by dry land. All is in Hashem's power. We can free ourselves from the torment of the mundane. Bo nishtacha v'nicheria. Come, let us prostrate ourselves and bow. Let us kneel before Hashem, our Maker. The psalmist bids us to throw ourselves entirely upon the trust of Hashem. With such totality, one can find recourse from life's stresses. Ki hu Elokeinu anachnu amariso. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock of his hand. Even today, if you will heed his voice. We tend to think of only the past generations as being holy. Certainly the spiritual giants of yesteryear are beyond our understanding. However, no matter what our time and place, Hashem always sees us as his flock, as his people. Shabbat gives us the breathing space to remind ourselves of this truth. Reb Nachman of Breslov used to say, a man must not delay his start in the right direction until the next day. Do not say, tomorrow I will commence to serve Hashem properly. A man has only the day and hour in which he stands, and the morrow is a different world which he enters. Thus we read this in this passage, even today if you will heed his voice. The world is a hard place, and sometimes we wonder how we can survive. This Kapitel's words are used throughout the world to usher in the Shabbat. Its message is about a preamble of what the Shabbos offers us. Have been blessed in seeing young people enjoying the sanctity of Shabbos for the first time. Again and again, I have realized that its healing powers are astounding. We can actually turn away from our tribulations and difficulties and hand them over to Hashem. Turn them over to Hashem with song. We need but observe its trueness and believe in its worth. That is the completion of Psalm 95 study with us today. We have time to begin chapter 96. We'll find out how many verses when we read the Psalms landing page paragraphs. Does anybody have any questions or discussion about Psalm 95? Psalm 96, Tehillim 96. The time will yet come when man will say to his fellow, come, let us sing to Hashem. The above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. This psalm is sung as part of the Kabbalat Shabbat service every Friday night. The first word is Shiru L'Adonai, and I refer you to the introduction and yearning for redemption. There are 13 verses in Psalm 96. The number 13 is a number that connects to the energy of unity, of ahava, love, and deaga, caring. The Hebrew words are echad, deaka, and ahava. Love, caring, and unity. On the 19th day of each Hebrew month, we say 101 verses. This connects us to the energy of chesed, since it is the gematria of the name Michael, and Michael connects to chesed. Psalm 96, verse 1. We probably won't be able to finish all of these verses today, so I'm going to let them go. Call it a short class. Does anybody have any questions? You all have a Shavuot Tov. You have a beautiful week. And reminding you that we will have four classes tomorrow. I hope you'll join us for them. I also remind you to listen to the recording for the Chevruta study between Chai and myself. I think you will find it extremely interesting whenever, if ever, you decide to study it with us. Shalom Gadol to all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
You too.